Today we're having a good party, I think, on the podcast.
We're having like a small party.
We're having a small party.
Don't worry, Governor Sisolak. Don't worry, Sisolak. It's a COVID-friendly party.
But we're changing it up, man. We're getting fucking classy tonight.
That's right.
We're getting, excuse me, very classy tonight.
My pinky's up as we speak.
It's been up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My pinky is up. It is straight.
You're ready.
It is so good. We have never had a classy episode.
We have not yet.
And I think we're about to class it up a little bit. We've got a great guest today.
We do.
So, well, why don't we just get, why don't we roll our intro so that we can get into the fun part?
Let's do it.
All right, rock and roll. Hi, my name is Stu Hawk, and this is my podcast about all the weird, crazy, spooky things that scare me and my guests, and the one thing that helps us forget all about them. Ladies and gentlemen, beer freaks. Welcome back.
Welcome back, people.
And welcome, Emma.
Thank you. The fact that I am the epitome of class on your show is a very low bar.
We set the bar as low as possible.
We set it low to start, man. You can't go too high.
That's right. You know? That's right. When they go high, we go low.
Yeah.
We're the opposite of Michelle Obama.
That's how you got to do it, man. But thank you, Emma, for coming on.
Of course. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
What did you think when I said, hey, come on our Beer Freaks podcast?
Well, we were very intoxicated at the time, so I thought, this is great.
Yep, see?
Yep.
And now she's
That's how we get most of our guests.
Not excited about it.
Here we go.
She's like, shit, what did I sign up for?
Damn it.
What did I sign up for? You know what? It's interesting, though. I think Ernest Hemingway had a saying or something. I'm going to butcher it, but it was like, a real man, and apply this to all humans, not just men, but, you know, Hemingway was a notorious masculine, like, jerk in a lot of ways. Anyway, so he said, any real man will live up to what he says he'll do when he's drunk. Something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you were drunk, you said you'd do it, and here you are.
You're a real man.
Right, Emma. After Hemingway's own heart.
Here I am, and there is an old English saying that says, beer is made by men, wine by God. So,
Dang, that hurts. She just put us in our place. That took a knife in the heart. Emma, tell us a little bit about yourself, Emma.
Well, my name's Emma. I am a certified sommelier, so I have my level. Well, I'm studying for the exam that was postponed because of all this COVID madness.
Fuck COVID.
But my level 3 WSET, which is the Wine and Spirits Education Trust exams. I am a student at UNLV's Hara College of Hospitality, studying hospitality management, and I currently work at Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar in Las Vegas.
Beautiful.
Very cool. That's awesome. Do you get to use your sommelier skills at your current job?
As much as possible. Obviously, with Wine Bar, that's kind of, you know, we have wine.
Yes.
So, yes, I do. I've noticed that a lot of this stuff in restaurants, though, it's not all that creative. We don't get to go into the weird stuff or stuff that nobody really knows about, because obviously nobody wants to drink something that they don't know about. So,
unless you talk to Derek or I.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You guys, I said I'm going to bring something interesting because they might actually appreciate this. So.
Yep.
We will.
Trust me. She said, what kind of wine do you like? I'm like, you know what, dude? You choose. That's the deal.
Yeah.
You pick and tell
get
us.
Get weird with it. Because
get weird with it.
It's called Beer Freaks. We want freaky stuff, whether it's beer or
weird with
whatever.
It. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, don't tell them about, you know.
I wasn't going into that.
All right. Okay, cool. Right. Anyway, back to Emma.
Love you, buddy. So in case you haven't put it together yet, then Emma has brought some wines for us to try today. All right. So tell us a little bit more about this sommelier stuff. I mean, because I'm not much of a wine drinker. I don't know a ton, but I know enough about like sommeliers. Like, so that makes you, in layman's terms, a wine expert. So what got you into this?
So my dad is kind of the start of all of my wine career. He is a wine collector. So all my life, I had been surrounded by it, and he'd let me have taste of stuff. And I feel like dads are usually lecturing their kids on all sorts of random stuff. So if you got a regular lecture about regular things, mine was about wine, and you'd sit there going, oh, dad should have already, like, oh, this is so boring. And then we'd take vacations, and then we'd get dragged to all these wine tastings and vineyards. And if you're sitting there at 10 years old and unable to do anything, that's just the most boring thing in the world, standing in a vineyard. Right. And this is a farm.
Did you ever get to try any when you were 10 years old?
I did. My dad, we like to say that our household was really European. So yes. we got to taste for the purpose of developing our palates. And by the time I got older, I got a little glass of wine with dinner all the time. So in that sense, yes, but nothing too crazy.
Well, sure. Well,
because here's the crazy thing.
10-year-olds can't handle their alcohol.
Exactly, they can't.
No, no.
They're assholes when they get drunk.
Yeah, they get fucking loco, man. Have you seen Good Boys? Yeah, they get insane. But no, this is kind of crazy, though. So, you know, typically you can't ask a woman her age, right?
Sure.
But I feel in the circumstance, the context, like her age plays a big part.
I'll allow it.
Tread lightly.
Yes.
Tread lightly.
Like, because you are a level 3 sommelier, so you have one more after this one, and then your master's test.
Yes.
Which is insane. But you're only
21.
Which is insane. There are people that, like, study for this. It's crazy to me that you're that far along, and you're only 21. It's nuts. And I think it goes back to, like I say, you probably started at 10 years old.
For sure. Well, when I decided that I was really going to get into wine, I was 18. I'd originally just dropped out of a college program because I realized that I wasn't passionate about the thing that I was going to school for, and I wanted to find that thing that I was passionate about. And I ended up in a restaurant working as a host, and I fell in love with how fast the restaurants worked and how exciting it was to talk to all these new people and kind of be on the restaurant floor stage, if you will. And so I decided to get into wine because that's something that you can get into if you are working in restaurants. So I started with the Wine and Spirits Education Trust because they have online courses, and I was 18 at the time. And then I would fly to Toronto to take my exams.
Whoa.
Because wow. I was of age to drink there. Well, 19, but I turned 19.
Damn.
Before
so that's brilliant. How it happened. Really? How smart is that?
That's what it was.
Why Toronto over like Vancouver or something like that? Is Toronto just a better?
I'm from Chicago, so it was only an hour or so flight.
When did you move to Vegas?
August. So I'm a newbie.
Super new, dude. Yeah.
Oh my God. So Chicago's a great town, by the way.
We love it. Yep.
So how many sommeliers are there in America?
Quite a lot. You don't necessarily need the certification to be a somm. I think if you know your stuff, you know your stuff. My dad's been drinking for 40 plus more years than I have. So he's got a ton of knowledge over me about a bunch of random stuff, but he's never taken a course or an exam in his life. So it really depends. You really can't say that people that are certified are better somms than others. Mm. I think for me, it just helped to solidify my knowledge at my age because a lot of people aren't going to go out and hire 21-year-old somm.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
I think a really good question, though, is, and because this kind of blows my mind, how many master somms there are
in the world. What's the difference?
And how many master somms in Las Vegas, which will be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It grows every year.
Yeah.
But I believe last time I checked, there were a few hundred master somms. And then what I'm
in the world?
Yes.
In the world.
In the world.
In the world.
Every year it gets larger and larger.
What do you have to do to be a master somm? what do you have to do?
God.
Everything.
drink all the wine.
So here's
all
the wine. So in Vegas, the last thing I saw, for how many master somms we have here. I swear it was like 13 or 14 in Vegas.
In Vegas.
So out of a few hundred, like we have a lot.
We over-index because
it's crazy.
It's Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But master somm. So imagine just taking this bottle of wine you have in front of you right now, which we'll get to later.
Sure.
Pouring it. Oops, sorry, babe. Pouring it in your glass.
Your
yeah. Pouring it in your glass and being able to just, without knowing what kind of wine it is, telling like where it's from, the region it's from, what kind it is, like, I mean, telling everything about the wine without even knowing
just
anything
based on
about it.
Taste and smell.
Taste, smell, like every look, everything.
Visual, yeah. Yeah. So that's so really it's like just understanding it so much, understanding the vine pairing that you were talking about, or whatever it is, so well that like you could say like this one is from Argentina. A little drier. I know it was drier in 1994, so like that's probably a 94 blend. And like just being able to go through that whole thing just based on the sensory elements.
And like even the region in Argentina, right?
You could say that. Yeah.
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Crazy, dude.
That's wild. I've had way too many IPAs in my life to be able to even taste anything like that level. I'm basically like, I think this is a red or I think this is a white.
Yeah.
That's as far as I go. That's my knowledge.
Hey, you know what? Baby steps, dude.
Yeah, I went to Napa and I was definitely the clown at most of these places. Okay, I just listened. I knew not to speak much when I went to Napa.
Everybody needs a good listener.
Yeah, I listen. So
I listen. Good work, Stu.
Yeah.
But
thanks.
So that's what Emma's bringing to the table tonight. Good. And I'm scared, man. She brought us an amazing wine. I mean, it looks great. I love labels. And this label to me speaks like, this is going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So it does. Easy to That's, please.
Yeah, that sounded really well, reassuring, I was
just,
Stu. Jesus.
You know what's wild? And so maybe this is just like me after having a couple of beers. My brain kind of goes out. I'm not going to say what the wine is yet. But the label has these men. Their arms are very 90-degree angles. Almost like a swastika. Going to say that.
All right.
Just like,
oh, whoa.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
Look, maybe I'm getting a little out there. I don't know.
But it also looks like two eyes and a nose to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what it looks like. They're looking at us.
The winemaker is not like a friend of yours, are they?
No, they're not. Good. But it
I don't want to be like sans. And by the way, it's not a swastika. I'm sure that there are no Nazi propaganda going on here. I'm just saying.
Guess what? All of this can be cut.
When I looked at that, I was like, damn, that kind of looks like a swastika.
It kind of looks like it. Yeah.
By the way, a bit of Vegas history. Yeah. Did you know that the Imperial Palace, before they changed it,
yeah,
because they did a bunch of renovations over the last... Have you heard this?
No. Oh.
She just moved here.
Hey, look, Vegas history comes fast.
Yep.
When it was in the Imperial Palace, if you looked at it from above, it looked like a swastika.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. And they found out the original builder was a Nazi sympathizer.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So, Emma, this wine looks really cool, and I'm excited to try it because here's the thing. Normally, we do beer. But today, we're going to start a little classy, Stu. We're going to have some wine on this show.
All right, fine.
You good
I'm
with
just
that?
Kidding, Emma. I'm excited. I'm actually very excited.
And Emma's going to school us on exactly kind of what, you know, here's the thing. We're first going to say kind of what we taste.
Sure.
Right? But then Emma's going to come in and be like, well, you guys fucking suck.
Tastes like and grapes.
Here's what it is. So, all right. So we're going to pour.
Don't even give us like a hot or cold.
That sounds amazing. And I was not peeing. That was the wine.
As far as we're aware, Derek wasn't peeing.
All right, guys. Let's cheers.
Woo, cheers.
I love this. See, this is like a,
this
I
is
feel,
fun.
Like, I feel like I should have like a suit jacket on.
This is a next level. Let's just call it.
All right, Emma. So we got our wine. So now, normally, so here's the thing. What I would want to do with this is swirl it, right? Is that like a normal thing or don't?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Because swirling kind of releases the like the aromas and stuff, correct?
It does. Yep, that's why you would do it.
But what if I want the aromas to stay in my wine?
You probably don't want that.
I don't want the aroma. I don't?
No, you do. It wouldn't. Nothing about the quality of the wine is going to leave if you swirl it.
These are the questions that keep me up at night, Emma.
That smells really nice. That sounded not classy. Hold on.
Yeah, your pinky, your pinky's not even up, dude.
The nose on this wine is very nice.
Indeed. Put your nose in there.
It smells red. She got that.
Smells red.
One point.
You stole mine because that's what I was going to go with. Mm. It smells very bold to me. Does that sound appropriate?
Whoa. Okay.
Did so you taste the thing?
Yeah, I do. Did I you taste it? Yeah. Okay, so I do have to say, when I first taste this, like I almost, like literally, I was almost trying to chew it because like the flavor, I was like, oh man, like, like I almost felt there was food in my mouth. Like that sounds really weird, but because there was so much there, I was like, man, I got to like get all this.
It has almost like, there's like a almost like a savory note in there that, Like, so I'm just going to tell you this, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, Emma, because I've heard this before from a friend who is not in wine, but he's in food. But he says, like, when you taste things, the best way to do it is to, like, kind of press it against the roof of your mouth, open your mouth a little bit, try to breathe in and, like, kind of let it gurgle in, along the top of your mouth. And that's going to give you the best sensory. Is that accurate?
So how I've understood it is to just put the wine all over your mouth. Just okay. kind of move it around, make sure it gets all of the different areas of your tongue, the sides. It's really between in your kind of gums that you're going to get that the warmth that you're going to feel about with the alcohol. That's where you're going to get kind of the acidity. Mm. And so make sure you're getting all of that. You're feeling all of it. Yeah.
I feel like I get some pepper in there for sure. Mm.
Maybe that's the savory that I'm getting.
Because I love like spicy stuff, like peppery stuff. Like that was one of the things I got was like it felt like very like it had some good pepper in it.
Yeah. Pepper it up.
What'd you get, Stu?
Well, I think that's what's coming through with the savory aspect. I mean, obviously you got, to me, I've got a base of like something, you know, like a cab, like it's not sweet, but it has like sweet tendencies, but then you get a little bit of that kick, that peppery. And you know what? It's funny. Petite Shiraz was the wine that I liked the most when I went to Napa several years ago. And that had a very peppery, like smoky flavor. And this kind of reminds me a little bit of that.
All right. So now, okay. So Emma heard everything we said.
Yes.
And what we
thought. Who did the best, Emma?
Who did the best? And were we right? And
who wins?
And who wins?
That's all I care about. That's all I care about. What do you think? I just want to win.
I really wanted to school you guys that you did really, really well. I was really surprised that you came up with all of that. In fact, I've got some things to say about that pepper that you were experiencing there.
I love it.
So I think that was a big thing. But none of you are inherently wrong. So
damn it. Right. I wanted Derek to be wrong.
We're like, all winners, you know, too.
No. No participation trophies here, Derek. Who won?
Yes. You know what? I think ultimately, if you bring up the herbaceous notes and the pepper, that's the winner right there.
So Stu.
Yes, Stu.
Well, yes. Bro. To be fair, you did bring up the pepper. I brought up the savory. I think you said pepper first.
We freaking tied, so we'll buddy.
We'll tie. So basically then, we're just wine connoisseurs then. We can add that to our title.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
All right.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to
add that in there.
I'm putting it on my LinkedIn.
Put it on my LinkedIn. Emma told me so.
Yes. You need to endorse me on LinkedIn for wine.
Got it.
All right. Tell us more about this wine.
All right. Well,
for one, how do you pronounce the name?
Anacana.
Anacana. Ooh.
Yes. So I have here a Carmenere wine. So it's made with the Carmenere grape from the Cachapoal Valley in Chile. Carmenere is kind of the flagship grape of Chile, so that's where it's grown the most, from the producer Anacana. And the specific type we're drinking here is the Tama Vineyard Selection, so specifically from this one area in the Cachapoal Valley. And Carmenere is very interesting. You said you had never heard of it before we drank today.
No.
I here in Las Vegas, I live on Carmenere, a street called Carmenere. So it kind of, that's what influenced me to get some Carmenere and kind of dive into this Chilean wine a little more. Yeah. So Carmenere, even though it's the flagship grape from Chile, was actually from Bordeaux originally. And so it's got a really similar flavor profile to a Cabernet Sauvignon or a Merlot, which I'm sure you guys have had at one point in time.
Oh, the Merlot. I've had that. Yeah. The Cabernet all day.
It's the best.
Yeah. And it's similar because just like a Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon, the parent grape of the Carmenere is Cabernet Franc. So it's got that same quality. So the tasting notes on this are that it's really ripe and fruity, which I think is where you're getting the chewiness from. But it's also got a very great spice profile here, and it even says on the back that it's there's some tobacco in it as well, which I was really getting.
Interesting.
And there is a longer finish. Ashley and I had tried a wine before this, and then we had said how not long the finish was and very short. And so in comparison, yes, you're totally right. The finish on this is much longer and very, very nice and full. So pepper that you were tasting, it's actually, I was interesting that you brought this up, because the grapes that come from the Cab Franc family, so everything that's kind of derived from that, so you've got Carmenere, you've got your Cab Sauv, you've got your Merlot, all of that share this compound called pyrazine. And so this pyrazine is actually what's known to give these wines a very, they call it like a pepperish flavor, if not specifically green pepper, like an herbaceous note. And Carmenere specifically is known to be very herbaceous. In fact, it's a late ripening grape, and so it needs a lot of sunlight as well. And so if you don't get it, if you don't grow it in a place where it gets enough heat and sunlight, it's going to, it's going to have a really kind of gross herbaceousness as opposed to something that's really nice and herbaceous. So you were totally right about that. I was really surprised that you picked it up because not many people know about the pyrazine factor.
It is pretty cool. Good job, Stu. Look at you, buddy.
I'm still pretty sure you're the one who said pepper first. So I'm just, you know, I'm going to give you some credit there.
But you know what? Like, I think
I just got the savory.
But I think that's the fun part about this is you can kind of intermingle the tasting with beer and wine. You know, it's kind of getting some of the same notes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's a big difference as to like how things are made.
Sure.
But you kind of get, you know, you get some of the same stuff that your palate's used to.
Well, I mean, all in all, I got to say, I feel like we did good. I feel like we did pretty well.
Overall, yes, from not knowing what Carmenere is and pulling that out, I think that was a job very well done.
Well, Derek, I'm proud of you, man.
I'm proud of you, dude.
Ashley, I'm proud of you
as well. Proud of you, babe.
Yeah.
You did good.
I think we all did very well.
We all did pretty good.
So now, Emma, you have now a high bar to hit because Derek and I did pretty damn well on the wine side. Mm-hmm. The beer side's going to be tough.
Right. Now I'm nervous. I had hoped that you would do badly. And so then I could, you know, be better than you. But no.
But the fear of not knowing the beer is not the fear.
It's not the fear.
No.
I think it's time to get into the fear, right, Derek?
I think so.
Emma.
Yikes.
Tease us with your fear a little bit, and then we'll get into it.
Jesus. Well, I am not a fan of bugs in sex.
Yeah.
Dude, I 100 million freaking percent agree.
I know. And look, I'm also not a fan of bugs. But Derek, I know you take this to the extreme.
I've literally had an 80-year-old woman kill a bug before I have.
So, Emma, are you that bad?
It's pretty terrible, and since I've moved here in August, I've discovered desert bugs, which are a new kind of absolutely horrifying.
They're the best ones.
That I did not sign up for when I moved here. I was not prepared.
So now we're moving on to what me and Stu kind of know best, I feel like, right? We know this a little bit better than what we just got schooled on. But I'm surprised. Like, we did pretty well.
Wait a second. We didn't get schooled on anything.
Did not get schooled.
Okay, cool. See? So that's good.
We rocked out with our Derek out. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, now the pressure's on for me. I'm very nervous.
Very true.
All right, Emma. So you told us a little bit about your fear. Bugs. So the beer I picked out for you is by... Oh, yeah. You got to keep the pinky up.
My pinky's still up, dude. I don't know what's happening here.
It does that, dude.
I think the wine has got me pinky up drunk.
It does that, man. So, this beer that I picked out for Endless Fear. So, it's New Glory Craft Brewery. This beer is called Gummy Worms. And it's a chewy pale ale.
Pale ale. What does that mean?
Because I don't want to chew anything. Yeah. So, they say on this beer... I need my readers. Hold on.
Oh, boy. Derek, do you want me to read that for you? I can read it if you'd like.
Can you do that, please?
I think my eyes are at least 1 year. Can you read that? Yeah, I got that.
You can read that.
Dude.
Wow.
Come on, man.
All right, go ahead.
Gummy Worms Chewy Pale Ale by New Glory Craft Brewing out of Sacramento. Oh, Sacramento coming out with a beer.
There you go.
Good for them.
But look at their can art, though.
Good can art.
How fun is that?
Yeah, it's good.
That just stands out.
It's got a black background with some funky psychedelic colors that look like gummy worms. All right, so Gummy Worms Chewy Pale Ale, American Pale Ale, chock full of chewy Northwest hops and chewy wheat malt and fermented with our expressive ale yeast. Packaged in its purest form unfined and unfiltered. For optimum experience, store cold and drink fresh. Again, this is 5.8%, so actually not a beast for pale ale.
Not at all.
Very, very drinkable. So, Derek, we will not go into our review of this just yet because we need Emma to give us her review
first of
this unfined.
It's probably got some,
it's probably got some stone fruit in it too, by the way. Yeah,
fucking stone fruit, dude. God damn it.
We're dipshits, by the way.
Yeah. All right, so this is on you. So imagine this as a wine right now. All right, Emma. Well, here's your wine.
Well, this that tactic worked for you guys. I'm hoping it works for me.
Yeah.
But I am noticing if it is unfined, like we think it is, there is kind of an also chewy characteristic to this as opposed to a lot of other beers that I've tasted, to, you know, go back to your wine tasting. And I think maybe that's because it is unfined, that it does have a little more of a fuller mouth, kind of almost a viscous feel in my mouth, if you will.
Big words. I got to look that up in dictionary.
No, we use it a lot in some of our tastings. So yeah, I like that very much. Viscous.
Yes. I just in comparison. I don't know if you, do you look at bubbles in beer?
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
It's because this has been
lighter bubbles.
We call it head.
Yeah. You got the head on the beer.
My mind went to looking at the bubbles here because that would tell me whether or not in wine, you know, how something is made. I'm getting no gummy worms on the palate.
Yeah, I don't get any.
No, it's very hoppy. I will say I agree with you on that. You laugh about stone fruits, but I'm kind of getting that right now.
Oh, fucking stone fruit, man.
Goddamn stone fruit rears its ugly head again.
I mean, specifically, I think I actually quite like this.
All right.
Yes, I could definitely see myself drinking this.
There you go. Because normally if you drink a beer, what do you drink?
As you know, Blue Moon.
Yeah. Do you have the orange?
I do. I like the fruity flavors that come through. Mm-hmm. I don't like too much. I call it acidity, but I probably haven't drank that much. I had as much beer as you guys.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You're only 21.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you have, Jesus, there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I've drank a lot of beer in my life. Have you, Derek?
Yes.
I'm quite a fan of lagers and darker beers as opposed to
IPAs. You would have liked that one. We'll have to get you to taste that one. That one.
I probably would have. Yeah,
14%.
I'm still trying to get my.
That's probably higher content than the wine is, right?
This is a 13.5, so you're right. Yeah. Yes,
I like it though. You know what though? Feel good. She did pretty amazing too.
I would 100% agree.
Yeah,
I would call out one thing. Mm-hmm. One thing alone.
Yep.
Which you actually agreed with her on.
Yep. But
I'm going to forgive you as well, only because you're not a hop fan.
No.
Okay.
No.
You both said that this is a relatively hoppy beer.
It's very hoppy.
It's not.
I smelled it out of my nose.
This is not a hoppy beer.
You're crazy.
If you had West Coast hops in like any beer out of California that's like a true IPA.
Well, they're hoppy, notoriously hoppy out of
Well, and this beer is out of Sacramento, but clearly Sacramento doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. Yeah. Now, I will say, actually, I enjoyed this beer.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of mellow.
Exactly.
It's not crazy hoppy.
Yeah.
But I would just say that's the only thing I would say.
Yeah.
Of your entire synopsis of this, it's actually very good. But I would put this probably on like a very moderately, even low-end hoppy beer side.
Okay. Based on my likes of beer, I would say that I'm not really all that much of a fan of IPAs right now because of how hoppy they are. Yeah. So the fact that I very much enjoyed this, I could see how
bingo.
I would think it's hoppy, but for my personal preferences,
yes,
I concur.
Quite hoppy.
Well, look, even as a hop fan, I love a good IPA. Stone is one of my favorite breweries in the world, and they are notorious for hops. In fact, they sent us that free IPA there. Two of them.
They did.
How nice.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Greg's actually like one of our buddies now. You know, sends us beer.
Yep.
He's the CEO of Stone. It's no big deal.
No big deal. One of the biggest, you know, if not the biggest.
I think it is the biggest independent brewer. Well, except for Sam.
Yeah.
But, you know.
We don't know Sam that well yet.
But anyway, even as a huge fan of IPAs and hoppy beers, I do agree that a lot of beers have gotten out of control hoppy. Too much. Too much.
All right, guys. Okay. So we do need to get into Emma's fear.
Yeah.
Right.
We're on beer three.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten into the fear.
Beer two. Or wine, I guess we started.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Okay. Yeah. So drink three.
Yeah. But Emma, so afraid of bugs, which,
cool.
I feel like, you know, we're all afraid of bugs at some extent, right?
Yeah. Oh, like, my God.
But I feel like it's a pretty good, because I told you, give me a fear that like scares the crap out of you. And this is a big deal. So tell us more about this fear of bugs.
So I feel better about it now, knowing that when I looked it up, it turns out we develop this fear of bugs because bugs can be potentially dangerous to us. So it's totally rational.
Yes.
It's definitely not irrational. But I had mentioned about how since I've moved to Las Vegas, I have discovered the desert bugs, which are completely different from the Chicago Midwest bugs. If you're listening from the Midwest or not the desert.
At least this isn't Australia, okay?
You know what?
Could be worse.
There's that.
Oh, man, they could have like the fucking... They could have the big fucking spiders, right? The ones that like fucking come down from the fucking ceiling.
That's not a knife.
Crazy, dude.
This is a knife.
It's a fucking knife right there.
There's that. But so the first day I was ever in Las Vegas, I encountered a scorpion. But we were talking about the headstanding beetles that I've discovered.
Yes. That sounds entertaining.
Which apparently the Las Vegas locals here don't even know about.
No, I've never heard that. But I would love to see that. That should be a Cirque du Soleil show.
Oh my God. That's next level, dude. Brilliant.
Could you imagine?
They should be.
Holy shit.
They should be. So they're black beetles and they're pretty big.
Yeah.
They're pretty deep. I mean, maybe an inch and a half or so.
Yeah.
And
that's big for Derek.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
For a bug, at least.
Had to be done.
I set that one up.
Yep.
Good job, Emma.
No one to blame but yourself.
Thank you. Emma. That is all on me.
It's good to know that even the men of your older generation still make these stupid jokes because we never grow up.
No.
Turns out that's the case, ladies.
Yep.
Truth.
So back to you, Emma.
Back to the bugs. I was alone in the house one day. I was walking to the bathroom and I had felt something kind of scrape the bottom of my foot as I had lifted it up. And I turn around to look at this beetle that looked like it was standing on its head. So it was an inch and a half plus maybe off the ground standing on its head. And I had thought to myself, this is absurd. It had probably fallen from the ceiling or something and ended up in that position. This is kind of weird. But it was the middle of the night and I'm far too afraid of bugs to have dealt with this in the middle of the night. And so I just said, this is a morning thing. So I'm just going to leave it. And I came back and it wasn't there in the morning. So it was definitely alive. And I thought that's ridiculous that this bug that was clearly standing on its head was alive. And I'd called my mom about it. I was so afraid. I said, Mom, there was this bug and it was on its head. I swear I had lifted up my foot and it scraped the bottom of my foot. And she said, you're insane. And I said, fine, you know, maybe I was. And she had encountered the same thing, this bug that decided to stand on its head when she got close to it. And so we looked this up and I put into Google bug that stands on its head, black Nevada. And turns out they're the desert headstanding beetles. And when they feel threatened, they stand on their head and put their butts in the air so that it can spray you with like their bugs, like stink spray.
What?
Yes.
What?
This is crazy. It just to me. So quick aside. I was a kicker in high school on the football team. That just looks to me like something that is very kickable. If he's standing on his head, like just okay, field goal time, baby. We're going after this. But the other thing I want to say is I'm glad that you had the same reaction to a bug being in your house as Derek does, who has to call an older woman to make sure that they take care of the situation.
100%. Yep. I'm glad we're on the same boat.
Yes. It was just going to cause too much of a problem that I left it.
But how did you leave it though? That's my question, because here's the thing. If I saw a bug, unless that sucker's gone, like I can't go to bed thinking he's out there. Mm. She's out there. They are out there, whatever, because they could come into my room.
Well, because it was on its head in that weird position, I had assumed it was dead.
Oh, you thought it was like a fish.
Yes,
like
I thought it was dead. And I kind of
a dead handstand.
Wow. Have you ever seen a bug doing a handstand?
No, but I wouldn't imagine that it was dead if that's
what I
saw.
But did it look straight up like he was doing a handstand?
No, it did. And so I'd kind of touched it and it didn't move, because apparently now I know it felt threatened by me. And so I just...
Wait. How did you touch it? Did you kick it? Did you put your finger on like?
There was no way I was touching that.
I was going to say.
It was
okay.
Definitely
with your toe.
My
like
toe.
A little toe, yeah.
Yes, it was definitely my
but
toe.
But he was scared out of his mind that he didn't fucking move when a big freaking toe
spray?
Was coming
well,
at it.
Apparently, when my mom had encountered this too, she had knocked it over onto this magazine to take it outside, and it was... And she thought it was dead because it had played dead. And then the second she had brought it outside, it flipped over and started to move again. And she was telling me how it had tricked her. And, you know, that one played dead. I can't believe this bug was so smart. It played dead in front of me.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, bugs have like these crazy evolutionary processes. Yeah. They like these things know how to survive.
Yeah.
And frankly.
Have you seen a bug's life? Yeah. You know.
I mean.
Watch yes. that research.
Yeah, that's the pinnacle of bugs.
Yeah, man.
But I mean, like who would have thought a bug doing a fucking headstand
yeah.
was like that
defense mechanism.
So, but think about this. Okay. At some point, probably millions of years ago,
there was
this brown beetle that you saw, right? In basically the form that you saw today. And most of them, when they were encountered by a threat, would just keep running. But then one.
So one, screw you guys, I'm doing a headstand.
He's like, I'm fucking doing a headstand, bitch. Like, that's what goes through my mind when this predator approaches me. And that predator looked at him and he was like, what the fuck?
That dude is crazy, man.
And he ran away. Yeah. And then that bug propagated and created an entire species that we now call the fucking Nevada headstanding beetle. Okay? That's incredible that fucking guy, whoever that was, he was an innovator. He stood on his head and he fucked everyone else up. His entire family died, by the way. It was eaten by that predator. But that one guy did a headstand and he fucked everyone else up.
It's very... Dude, you know what? You got to stand out from the crowd, man. You got to do your own thing.
Some and porcupine was like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Well,
and that guy was probably like, dude, I learned this new trick. I'm going to try and use this. Like, I'm just going to go on my head. Boom. It worked.
Yeah. And the predator was like either so impressed that he's like, you know what? I'm going to leave you alone. Or he was like freaked out. Like, dude, what is happening?
Well, that's the thing. You should always wear like a you remember who's the guy that did the movie Borat? So you should always wear a Borat swimsuit under your clothes. So if you ever get in a fight, get rid of everything and show that. Like, how many people? If me and you are about to get in a fight and I just strip down to that, wouldn't that just make you so scared you would run away? You'd be like, okay, this guy's fucking nuts.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. Or I'd start laughing. And either way, the tension would be broken.
Either way, it'd be broken.
Yeah. Sacha Baron Cohen, by the way, is a genius.
So that's what that fucking little dude did.
Yeah.
He said, hey, look at this. I'm doing a fucking headstand. It was like, ugh.
And it's like, I can't kill this dude. He's talented as fuck.
Yeah, damn. Yeah. Can't do that to our species.
Now I can't unsee this little headstanding beetle wearing a Sacha Baron Cohen.
Could you imagine if he had the
double
Sacha
down?
Baron Cohen?
Double down.
Oh, my God.
So, Derek, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Beautiful.
Yep.
All right. So, okay. So, we've got the headstanding beetle. Mm-hmm. Your mom also dealt with that, which is wild.
Otherwise, she would not have believed me.
I don't blame
her. No one would believe you. No. I still barely believe you. I feel like you saw a Disney movie maybe when you were on shrooms or something like that.
Everyone look it up.
So okay, so you had the scorpions. So you've had a hell of a 3 months.
I am convinced that the bugs are out to get me, and sure. It's because they know I'm afraid. There are also these really ugly, I think they're called water bugs.
Oh, water bugs are gross.
The ones that kind of look like cockroaches, yeah. Are really the same thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
I guarantee you've seen a water bug. They just look like beetles.
Yeah,
They're brown. They kind of look like cockroaches from a Chicago person point of view.
Yeah.
But I've had to deal with those as well.
Yeah. All by yourself.
How about a cicada?
Okay, the cicadas are really gross too.
Yeah. The noise. Oh my God. The noise is deafening.
Nice. Yep.
Look so they come out every 13 years or so. And there's just, you have a summer where there's just cicadas everywhere. But apparently you can pick them up and just eat them.
What the hell?
Yes. And apparently they taste like bacon. But
who was the person who discovered this?
And so why did they do that?
I'm not sure, but they come out. Some people come out with cicada flavored things during that time. But I remember when I was younger, because obviously that was 13 years ago.
The psych ward, they do that kind of stuff.
No.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Like prison systems, maybe they do.
But my dad would tell me when that happened 13 years ago, that or some whenever the last 13 year cycle was, that he would give me $10 if I just picked one up and ate one.
Oh my God.
But those are some ugly ones, but you don't never see them around as much.
Yeah.
You'll see, because they hide up in those trees.
Yeah.
So you'll see their carcasses, if you will, because they shed and they're really ugly.
Yeah.
But you never really come into contact with them that much until they have their 13 year.
Oh, geez.
Whoa.
Maybe that's true, because truthfully, I've heard cicadas, but yeah, I've never seen them.
I've never seen a cicada in my life.
They're ugly, but they're harmless. They don't bite or anything. They just
make noise.
Exactly. And most of the time they are hidden because they don't want to be around you either. Wow. So that's what makes them different from these damn water bugs.
Mm. Wait, the water bugs aren't dangerous though.
No, but they are ugly and kind of big too. But I was in my house and I saw one circling my house, and I thought, and I kind of kept my eye on him, and I thought, oh gosh, this is, you know, he's really making his way around the diameter of my house and like the perimeter of my house. And I thought, you know what? All my doors are closed, so I'm not going to worry about this. This is a bug. He is outside. He's circling the perimeter of my house, but it does not matter because
you were keeping an eye on this bug. Outside of your house.
It was walking the perimeter of my house, like specifically, like going around the corners and everything. And I thought, I'm not going to worry about this.
Give me a timeline on this. How long did you watch this guy?
Just a couple minutes. But okay. I saw him circling the perimeter of my house. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Stop worrying. This is just your weird fear of bugs. It is on the outside. There are tons of bugs on the outside. Just hang out on the inside and you'll be fine. And a couple hours later, I see one off the corner of my eye in my house, and I try to get it, and then it's gone. It just disappeared. And I called my mom, because apparently I call my mom about bugs now. And I said,
moms are
like,
good.
Just like
moms are good. Yeah.
Or seriously,
grandmas. Yeah, grandmas.
I said, mom, there is this bug. There's this water bug in the house. I don't know where it is. I am so afraid. And I don't see it anymore. I went
by
to
the
Ben.
Way for the audience, not a dangerous bug,
not a dangerous
just
bug.
Just so everyone's aware.
But the
but
next day, they look like cockroaches. If you have never seen a water bug before, they look
disgusting.
Like cockroaches. They're gross.
but like smaller cockroaches.
It doesn't matter.
Next day I woke up in the morning and I put
on your face.
No.
Oh my God.
No. But
so then now that freaks me out.
I'm trying to let my dog out to go to the bathroom outside on our porch. And we have the sliding door, and I open that sliding door, and there are four of those water bugs just dead in a row right in front of my door.
They're multiplying.
They were trying to get into my house, and there was one that was kind of halfway underneath my door.
Oh, jeez.
And kind of just died there. And I FaceTimed my mom, and I was like, do you see this? Do you see this? The water bugs are trying to get into my house.
Oh, boy.
And they know I'm here, and they have decided to attack.
Mm. They found you.
They did. They found you. They truly did.
Thank you, Emma, for bringing your fear of bugs to us.
You are most welcome.
I feel like we all have that.
Emma, you are awesome. Yeah, seriously. Dude. By Thank the you. Way, bringing the wine, that was the coolest because we have not had wine on the show.
Crossover event.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
And I love it.
The cross comparison. We should do this kind of thing again. And by the way, you need to come back on, bring some more weird wine. We'll bring some weird beer.
It'd be my pleasure.
All right, guys. Check us out on every platform. We're there.
Well, if they're listening, they hear it.
Yeah.
They're already on the platform.
They're already on the platform.
But yeah, yeah, you can ask Alexa.
Listen to us on every platform. They're already listening.
If you're already listening, you already know what platform you want to listen to us on. But if you want to make it easier, you can ask Alexa.
Yeah.
That's the one I want to keep pushing because you can just say, Alexa, play the Beer Freaks podcast, and she'll fucking play it. But seriously, Derek, it was good seeing you again, man.
It's good seeing you, buddy.
Hey, before we go, I just want to say, Derek, it's been a pleasure.
Yep.
Thank you for joining the podcast, man. You have been a tremendous co-host, and I really appreciate it. Emma, thank you for coming on the podcast. You have been a pleasure. It's been incredible. And everyone who's listening, thank you for the three of you who listen regularly.
Big deal.
You are tremendous. I say that in jest. I know I say it a lot. Actually, our audience is growing, and we're seeing more and more people join, and hopefully we'll continue to see that. If you have any recommendations, please feel free to post it on our social. But unless we have anything else to add, boys and girls, we'll be seeing you.